So excited for God's people in His house, under His blood, His authority, His book. I'm just glad we're able to come in again. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Just a few verses this morning, not very many. I know sometimes I like to read about 10, 12, however many, but today's very few. But don't be worried. We can stay as long as we need to, but you know, God's got some things in His Bible. You know, it's all true, right? You guys believe that every word is true and everything, every promise is true. We just sang about it. You know, He's never forsaken us. He's never failed us. Everything He's promised has come true. And if you believe that, now the problem is there's some verses in here that are a little harder to swallow than other verses, but that doesn't make them any less true. And that's what Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 7, 8, and 9. So Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word today. We thank You for its truth. Lord, I ask that You would use me today. Lord, help me to get out of the way, and Lord, help Your Word to just shine through. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts today. Lord, wherever this passage pricks us in the heart, Lord, help us not to make excuses, Lord, but show us where we need to grow closer to You. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 7 starts out with a warning. And in fact, there are two warnings before he even starts talking about it. Number one, he says, "Be not deceived." That's a warning. That's what he's saying. Don't be deceived. And then after that, he says, "God is not mocked." So these are two things before you even start. So real quick, I want to talk about that first. He says, "Be not deceived." You know what he's saying right now? He's saying, Brother Pete, Paul, if he were here to describe this to us, he'd say, "Listen, what I'm about to tell you, you aren't going to find this in the world. In fact, the world is going to teach the opposite." That's what deception is, right? God's truth is there, and then the devil wants to deceive, just like he deceived Eve in the garden. He wants to deceive you today, and Paul is telling us this. This is a spot where the devil likes to deceive. He loves to deceive right here. And what it is that teaching that this world and this belief that the world has, that our actions and our choices don't have any consequences. That's it, right? That's what he's saying. What you reap, you will sow. And he's saying, listen, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh corruption. That's what he says later on. And this this teaching of the world that there are no consequences from when we sin and from our actions, that is a lie straight from hell. They have. Our life has consequences. And you may be looking up here and thinking, but Mike, you know, I know that the Bible says God will forgive me of my sins. And when He forgives me, when I ask Him to, I have a clean slate. And I am here to tell you that that is 100% true. But I will tell you this thing. If you go out there, you and your boyfriend and girlfriend, you go commit fornication, which is you have sex outside of marriage, and you become pregnant, and you pray to God to get me out of this mess, He is not going to answer your prayer and kill that baby.
That's right.
You are going to have consequences.
Amen.
And sometimes a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of time, a decision you make may affect the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But He says, do not be deceived. Yeah. Don't be deceived. You'll never walk away from some decisions that you make in your life. They'll change your life forever. And he's saying, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap it. That's what he's saying right here. So the first warning is, be not deceived. He's saying, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself, right? And then the second warning is God is not mocked. So if you don't fool yourself, maybe you're not fooling yourself. You're not going to fool God either. That's the next warning, real quick. God sees our actions. He sees our heart. He knows our thoughts. You can fool your pastor. You can fool your parents. You can fool your friends. You can fool your spouse, whatever, kids, all these things. But He is saying, listen, you can never fool God. God is not mocked. He knows what you're doing. And let me tell you something. You watch TV, you watch movies, they mock God all the time. They mock Him on TV. They mock Him. They ridicule Him. They set forth expectations and about God. You know, they say that God is just all love and no consequences, but I'm telling you, you can never fool God. You will live out your decisions that you make. You'll live them out because God is not mocked. And I'm telling you, this society, Hollywood, can make up this invented God and claim it's the same God of Christianity. You know the God, you know what their God does? Their God on a TV show, something happens that's wrong, a mistake is made, a bad choice is made, but then within a half hour, everything's fixed, right? Everything's better than it started. That's what TV does. Movies, they spread it out a little longer. They take about an hour and a half to go from a problem to then an amazing solution. You know, they'll go from a one-night stand to a fairy tale wedding in an hour and a half. I'm here to tell you, that's deception.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
It's deception. I don't care if the whole world says it's true. The Bible says it's not. It says, be not deceived. Stuff's junk. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I got to stop real quick because we don't use sowing and reaping very often in our language today. But basically, when he says sowing, he means when you plant a seed in the ground. That's sowing. Reaping is when you harvest it later, like they're getting ready to do in not too long of time. You see all the corn, they planted that corn in the field across the street. Time, months pass, you know, rain, sun, all those things. And then they're going to get ready to harvest it. That's reaping. Okay? So he's saying what you plant, you're going to harvest later. That's what he's saying. And we know that that's true. And we know it's true in farming, right, Brother Pete? I got to ask someone that would know something like that. But it's not only true in farming, it's the same in our life. It's the same. And he says, he starts out in verse 8, he says, for he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. You plant fleshly actions, fleshly lifestyle. You act in sin. You do these things. You're going to reap that. You're going to reap it. That's what you're going to harvest. And you're thinking, well, Mike, is it only Galatians chapter 6 that talks about this? No, it's throughout the Bible. Proverbs 13:21. Listen to what it says. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. You realize what he's saying right there. If you sow to the flesh, if you are sin, living a life of sin today, it says that evil pursueth sinners. You know what that means? It's running after you. And it's going to catch you someday. It will. That's what the Bible says. You act like this. You live the way that you want to live against the will of God. Then your sin, evil is running after you. It's chasing you. And it's going to catch up to you. Those consequences of your decision. And you know what the problem is? We've got a lot of people in this church that are saved, forgiven, on their way to heaven. But you know, I stand up here and Jimmy stands up here and we preach on different sins. And a lot of sins you'll be like, amen, get it, brother. Come on. Preach against homosexuality. Preach against that. Preach. Then you get to one. And then your head gets a little low. And you can't amen anymore. You know why? Because you would give everything to go back to that day and not have done it. That little bit of pleasure. That one mistake, that one bad choice, and you're living with it. God's forgiven you. Don't worry. I want you to remember that. If you have asked God to forgive you of that and trusted in Him, He's forgiven you. Yeah. Now the devil's the one that wants to remind you over and over again, but this world has consequences when we do these things. And God's saying, I don't remove the consequences. Yeah. I remove the sin, I remove the guilt, but the consequences stay. Yeah. And we don't like to talk about this, but it affects people. You look around, and if everyone, if they would tell you and would be honest with you, and they would say, "Here's what I did. I did this. I did that. I wish I could undo that, but I can't. And now I'm living with that consequence." But you know what? Another thing with farming and sowing and reaping is that you plant one seed and you get more, right? You get more than you plant. Let me tell you something. Hosea 8:7. "For they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind." One night of pleasure, one time of a bad choice, one mistake, and they're reaping it years and years later. And if we could ask, was it worth it? You'd say no. That's what he's saying. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap the flesh. This world has this different deceptive view of marriage. Where you get married, you know, in a marriage, the ceremony is just a few hours, one day. But it changes you for the rest of your life. Yeah. Right? Forever. But this world says, well, if you get tired of your spouse, just get a divorce. Right? Like it's all over. And I see this time and time again. They go to then undo the marriage. They get their divorce, but then there are kids involved. And I told somebody the other day, they said, well, the marriage didn't work out. They're done. They're separated. They're divorced. I said, but their kids are still there. They're going to have to deal with that person forever. Right? Amen. Because of the... And this is what the world doesn't tell you. That's why the Bible has instructions on who to marry. It has instructions on relationships. It has instructions on different things. And this world says, you know what that is? That's a bunch of things that want to keep you from having fun. But you know what it is? It is God saying that I love you. You are my children. I'm watching over you. And I want to protect you from the consequences. And what I'm going to do is you don't have to figure out the results of all of them. I'll tell you what you need to stay away from. And then it's your choice whether you stay away from it or not. And I'm here to tell you today, so many people have gotten burned in the deception of this world thinking nobody will ever figure out. Nobody will know. But I'm telling you, the Bible says if you sow it, you're going to reap it. And that evil pursueth after you. It just may haven't caught up to you yet. Hasn't caught up to you yet. And you're saying, Mike, I don't know if this is true. I don't know if I believe it. Well, let's look at something. Instead of looking at you and me for a second, let's look at this country. For decades, this country has removed God, has taken prayer out of schools, has said that abortion is okay, and has murdered millions upon millions of innocent babies. We have allowed sodomy to exist and are prideful about it. And we have disgraced marriage and taken it away from what God said marriage is. One man and one woman for life. We keep making these decisions. The United States is sowing this thing decade after decade after decade. And we are starting now to reap a harvest that we don't want anymore. We are starting to see terror on our borders inside of here. We used to fight in other countries. Now the fight's coming right here. And I told them on Wednesday night, I said, if people are offended by a lifeless hunk of metal of a statue and they rip the statue down, I said, there is nothing more offensive than the word of God to a sinner's heart. And I'm telling you what, it won't be long before they want to tear this building down and they want to tear down everything that we preach and preach and teach the truth. They'll want to close all of that down. But I'm telling you what, we want to say God bless America. I'll tell you how God bless America. If we start planting seeds of righteousness, we start planting seeds of holiness, and we, you know what the Israelites had to do? They had to cut down the groves. They had to get rid of the Baal worship. They had to get rid of the garbage and clean house. I'm telling you what, God is not going to bless this country if we continue down a road. Why? Because sin has consequences. Amen. I don't care if you're a country. I don't care if you're a person. I don't care if you're a church. It all goes the same way. And you can see example after example in the Bible. Church of Laodicea started planting seeds of not needing God and being self-sufficient. And look where it got them. Lukewarm. I don't want that. I don't want it. So that's just the beginning of verse 8. And I'm glad that verse 8 doesn't stop there. Verse 8 says, "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." I'm glad there's a but there, and it has a wonderful promise to you and I as a Christian. Just as we talked about planting sin and the evil consequences, if you plant things of the Spirit, I'm saying if you do things for the Lord, you are planting a seed just the same. And one little seed can sprout a big, bountiful harvest. And that's what he's saying. When you follow the leading of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, when he asks you to do something, you will later harvest good things. You'll harvest spiritual things. And I'm telling you what, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where the devil has tried to convince me that what I'm doing, nobody's listening, and it's not helping anybody, and nobody's lives are changing, and it's just of none effect. And he's saying, "Mike, you're spending an awful lot of time doing all these things. Is it even worth it?" And sometimes I start to believe his nonsense for a little while, and then I start to remember back and I say, "Wait a second, we've seen souls saved, we've seen lives changed, we've seen people come from addictions and the bonds of sin, and now they're upstanding teaching Sunday school, now they're worshiping God, now they're totally changed." And I'm here to tell you, every time the word goes out, whether it's behind the pulpit, whether it's a teacher in a class, whether it's you witnessing to somebody else, that does not return void. I'm telling you, that is a seed planted into the ground, and the Holy Spirit works with that. And later on, there'll be a miraculous spiritual blessing behind it. Aren't you glad? You tell the devil he's a liar. He's a liar. But you know what? It's hard some days, Brother Preston. It gets overwhelming. We have a lot of responsibilities. A lot of things take up our time and energy and money. And we just feel like we're getting burdened and overwhelmed sometimes. And see, it's in those times where we feel like quitting. But then he goes on in verse 9. And he says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." He's saying now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to burn out. Now is not the time to give up. He's saying now is the time to keep doing what God wants you to do. Even as this world gets more wicked, I'm telling you, the more the world gets wicked and the more we stay true to God's word, the more they're going to see us and say, "Wait a second, there's something different with you. You're not trying to cheat me. You're not trying to lie to me. You're not trying to get what you need from me, but you're loving me. You've got compassion. You're telling me the truth." I'm telling you what, the only thing that will fix this world is Jesus Christ. It's not race relations. It's not social relations. It's not any of that stuff. We can try to clean up everything and put laws in place, but I'm telling you what this world needs. It needs Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that'll change it all. Change everything. Don't be weary. Now is the time. If God has put something on your heart, now is the time to do it. No excuses. No excuses. You know, I thought about verse 8. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap the Spirit. And as I began to meditate and pray on that, I thought about something. You know, there's a third promise in there. There's a third thing in there. He doesn't spell it out, but we can see it. What happens if you don't sow anything? What do you reap? Nothing. What happens if the farmer goes out there and didn't do anything several months ago and just left the field? And then he comes out around September, October, and he's standing in an empty field that looks the same as what he started, and he's got his hands up. What happened? What happened? Nothing. That's the third promise of that verse. If you sow nothing, you get nothing. That's hard for us. That's hard. We can laugh at the lazy farmer, but what about the lazy Christian? We sit there and say, you know what? I would rather spend my time and energy doing something else. And I'm going to put God's will aside. I'm going to put getting in His Word every day aside. I'm going to put prayer aside. And then time goes on and time goes on. What are you reaping? Nothing. Nothing. You'll starve just like the farmer. But instead of starving physically, you'll starve spiritually. And that's what this verse promises. You know, laziness isn't the only thing. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." And you know what he's saying? He's saying someone who basically is out there and saying, it's getting ready to spread the seed, and is saying, well, it's a little bit windy today, and maybe I'll wait till tomorrow when it's less windy. And then tomorrow comes, and maybe, well, it's raining tomorrow, I can't do it tomorrow. And then the next day comes, and it's like, well, you know, I'm kind of busy tomorrow, so I'm not going to do it then. And then eventually you don't sow anything. And then the same thing's with reaping. Well, I see a couple clouds in the sky, so I'm not going to harvest anything. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, there will never be a perfect time for you to do what God wants you to do. You know where the space between perfection and right now is? Is faith. That's what it is. He says, I want you to do this. We have all these requirements in our head to get something done for the Lord, and God asks us to do something. He says, you know what you're missing is faith. You're not missing money. You're not missing time. You're not missing energy. You're not missing the Word, anything. You're missing faith. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, listen, don't put excuses in front of it. God will take care of it. Has He taken care of us?
Yeah.
Every time.
Amen.
When He's asked you to do something and you did it, were you lacking anything? No. No. So don't listen to the devil. Sometimes we take that verse, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we like to apply that to everything. We'll take it out of context. Stand still when He asked me to move. Stand still during church. Stand still at home instead of coming to the service. And that's not what it's talking about. You remember, they had to do a lot of things before they could then stand still. They had to plant before they could stand still and wait for the harvest to come. And the same thing is for you and I. You can plant the seed and stand still, but then wait. But you know what? Some people put off salvation. King Agrippa, after Paul had given his testimony and had talked about Jesus Christ, King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Remember, something hindered him. We don't know what it was. We don't know why he waited. You could tell he was so close to accepting Jesus Christ, but something got in the way. I don't know what it was. And we think, well, King Agrippa, he should have done it. I don't know what his problem is, but you know, we stand and we look up to God when God asks us to do something, and we say, God, almost persuadest me to do what you want me to do. Oh, I didn't hear an amen on that one. Maybe you didn't hear me. God, almost thou persuadest me to come to church regularly. God, almost thou persuadest me to get in my Bible every day. God, almost thou persuadest me to get on my knees and pray every day. God, almost thou persuaded me to volunteer instead of being chosen for something that nobody wants to do. God, almost thou persuadest me to do your will. I'm here to tell you something today, church. If we want to see a harvest, we have to put in the work. And that work is by faith in Jesus Christ. If we don't plant things into the ground, we won't expect anything. That's what he's saying. But he's saying, don't worry. It'll come. It'll come. Those things you planted. Don't put off salvation. Don't put off God's will. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. As I'm getting ready to close, I've got a couple questions. Got a couple questions. Do you want to see in this church a harvest of spiritual things, spiritual blessings, lives saved, people healed from backsliding, people getting serious about the Lord? Do we want to see that? Well, let me ask you this question. What are you sowing today? What are you planting into the ground today for the harvest that we all want? Are you sowing into the television instead of your Bible? Or maybe you're sowing into the telephone, your cell phone, instead of the Bible? Are you sowing into pleasures instead of assembling yourselves together with other Christians? Are you sowing into sin, hoping nobody will find out and you'll never have to pay the consequences? Well, here's a tough one. Are you not paying your tithes and asking God to bless your finances? God is not mocked. We'll leave that one there. You see what happens? I could go on and on and on, but I don't need to. I think the Holy Spirit's already told you what it is, whether I've said it or not today. Do you want to see a great harvest? Do you want good things, spiritual things, blessings beyond measure? And I'm not talking about money. So many times people just lock this into money and that's the only thing. He'll bless you financially, yes. But we're not all about money. You know what we're about? We're about lost souls. That's what I want to see. But the only way we can see a harvest of that is if we plant things today and tomorrow and the next day and are diligent about it. And we don't give up. We don't faint. We don't listen to the devil when he says you're doing this all in vain. Nobody cares. Nobody sees you. That's a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he said God sees you.
Amen.
And he'll reward you.
Yeah.
And he'll bless you. And he'll bless this church.
Right.
You know what I want to see? A great harvest.
Yeah.
Of amazing things. You know where it'll come from? God.
Amen.
Working in each one of our lives. Being obedient to him.
Amen.
You believe it, church? You believe that whatever a man sows, he'll reap? Whatever victory sows, we're going to reap. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. I'm telling you today, there's a better life. Quit flirting around with sin. Quit doing it. It will catch up to you. Quit flirting around with these other things. I'm telling you what, and let's get serious. We don't have much time. Right? I told you, they'll probably want to tear this place down. We probably ought to preach the gospel to as many people as we can before they tear it down. Right? Because I have a feeling, maybe before they tear it down or shortly after they tear it down, we're probably going up. So if it's close, we got work to do. We got work to do. I ask everyone to stand. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. It's a promise. These farmers aren't promised anything. A flood could come and could wipe it out. You could get too much sun, burn it up. Right? You could have a drought, it could get burnt up. You could have a fire and it gets burnt. You know, any number of things. A parasite or something gets in it. Animals, whatever. There's a lot of things that can ruin a harvest. I'm here to tell you, you sow spiritual things, God says nothing's ruining it. He says you'll reap. But the other thing is you sow evil and it's chasing after you. Look behind you. It's coming. It's going to catch up to you. But you know what? You say, well, Mike, I've done things I'm not happy with. And I'll say, so have I. Here's what we can do today. Number one, have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of it? Number one, He'll forgive anything. He'll forgive everything. But you got to come to Him and ask Him in faith, believing that He died and rose from the dead. And you got to repent. That's another thing people don't like to preach is repent. You got to turn and go a different way.
Amen.
That's number one. You're forgiven at that point. The guilt from heaven is gone. Sin's cast as far as east from the west.
Amen.
You're a Christian. Now, there are consequences here in this world. You can't change that. But what you can say is, I'm going to live differently today than I did yesterday. You start sowing good things in the ground. Start planting good things, spiritual things, godly things, and things will change. You're saying, well, Mike, you know, when my kids were younger, I didn't plant the right things, and now they're off. We can't change that. We can't change the past. We can sow things now. And I'm telling you, you let God touch these situations. Mike, I've made mistakes. I know. But you know what? This Bible is full of people that made mistakes over and over again. David paid the consequences of his sin for years, and it generations troubled him. But God loved him. None like David. God sees you the same way. If you're forgiven, there's none like you. And I know you've got a past. I know you've got things haunting you. But I'm telling you, He can forgive you today. And it doesn't matter if the devil keeps bringing it up. You're forgiven. Take him back to the cross. If you want to dig that sin back up, you have to undo that. And it's too late. It's finished. Right? All right. So I made the challenge today, church. If you're forgiven, the next thing is, who is going to say today, I want to sow spiritual things. I want to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to pledge to Him today. And not only do that, and I'm going to ask Him to help me, because I'm going to need it. We're going to need it. The enemy's going to come, going to try to fight us, try to tear us down. But you know what? He said, faint not. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I will send the harvest. We're going to open up the altar. If you've been challenged today, as they get a song, I urge you to come. I don't want to have to beg you to come. Just come because the Holy Spirit's touched you. And just talk it over with God. Get serious with Him. And we'll see a harvest. We'll see a harvest. Who will come first? God, help me to sow good things. God, help me to deal with the temptation that I've been giving into over and over again. God, help me to move on and to serve You. Who will pray that? Who will pray that today? Maybe you can't come forward, but they're at your seat. Who's willing to pray to God and say, God, I need Your help. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of seeing the results come back in my face over and over again. I want to see good things. God's saying, you start planning good things and you'll see good things. You start trusting in Me and I'll show you amazing things. I'll show you miracles. Mike, what do you mean? I'm talking about someone dead to sin, given new life through Jesus Christ. I want to see that, church. I want to see families restored. I want to see relationships that were broken are put back together. I want to see kids that hated their parents or are mad at their parents come together in love through Jesus Christ. I want to see people who have quit on God and who are just filling a pew get a fire in their soul and say, there's more to this life than just sitting here an hour a week. There's more to this thing. You know what I want to see? I want to see the harvest. I want to see Him coming in, getting right. The only way that'll happen, if we plant spiritual things, if we do God's will. Don't deceive yourself. You live a life of disobedience to God, don't you dare ask Him to bless you. He won't. You're wasting your time. You want a blessing from God? You serve God. You live the way He tells you to live. You get in His Word. That's the only way you can be blessed. Pete, I've tried it both ways. I've been Christian long enough. I've tried doing it on my own. I've tried hiding things. I've tried all that stuff. It never works. I read that verse, evil pursueth after you, and I was like, oh, that scares me. Scares me. Done some ridiculous things. It's a shame. But that's what sin is. I just have to be reminded it's under the blood. He's forgiven me of it. You know what? Today I'm just not going to do that. Today I'm going to do what God wants. And if I get tired, I'm going to pick up Paul's advice and say, don't faint.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Paul had every reason to give up and get faint and get weary. But he said, brothers, sisters, keep going. Keep going. You know where we see the full harvest at? Heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven. There are people that have no idea that planted seeds in your life. They have no idea where you're at. Maybe they ministered to you as a kid. Maybe you were at a vacation Bible school at a church you never went back to. They have no idea. There are people that have no idea that I'm preaching. No idea. One day they will. One day they will. Same thing's true in your life. You may have touched people, and you're continuing to touch people, and maybe you're not seeing the results real quick, and maybe things are delayed, but I'm telling you, we shall reap, church.
Yeah.
So let's get our boots on.
Amen.
Let's get busy and see what the Lord has for us. I'm excited. I know it's hard, it's a challenge, but it excites me. It excites me. Because then I can just see Him come down. Give up this world. Give up Hollywood. Give up deception. Go down a sinner. Stand up saved. I love that. I love that.